Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Good morning, church. No, I really don't want this because I'm going to walk over it. I can't stand still. Okay, we're first going to have a look at the documentary we have done so you can see what's there in Malawi at the moment at Kondanani. And then I'll talk about later how it all came to pass.
Kondanani Village is a lovely home to 178 orphans who are being offered excellent opportunities to become responsible citizens of Malawi. Founded by Anne Chikwaza, a Dutch missionary, fondly called a mother of Malawi, and her late husband, Louis, Kondanani Village at Vumbwe Ntyolo has been described as a five-star orphanage and center of excellence both by local and international visitors and the media. Run as a non-government organization, Kondanani Village was founded 16 years ago and has been at the present location for 10 years. Kondanani has beautiful children homes called Madalo Village, a nursery, primary and secondary schools, providing what is known as accelerated Christian education based on American education system. The 50-acre campus includes a farm with dairy cattle, which supplies milk, a dam with tilapia fish at a recreation center called El Paradiso, where a new clubhouse has just been completed, and grounds for various sporting activities. How did this place come into being? Reverend Anne Chikwaza, a missionary who began her Christian work in her home country, the Netherlands. She moved to the United Kingdom, then South Africa, and later she came to Malawi to join her late husband, Pastor Louis Chikwaza, of Bible Faith Missionaries in the 1990s. Kondanani Village started as a result of her desire to uplift the lives of the marginalized and abandoned children. The life story of this impressive personality, fondly called Mom, is well chronicled in the biography Mother of Malawi by Al Gibson, a must to read for everyone who wants to see the wonders God provides to all who care to have faith and hold it. The oldest child at Kondanani Village is 16 years old.
My name is Tiko P, and I'm 16 years old. I'm in ACE, an English school.
The child arrived at the orphanage as a day old, and this is how most of the children came to the orphanage, either abandoned by their mothers at the hands of the social welfare department, or brought in by teenage mothers who could not cope with the task of bringing up the child. Some lost their parents due to HIV/AIDS and faced the prospect of dying young. They were underweight, sickly, and malnourished, but Kondanani took them, and with caring hands of Anne Chikwaza and a team of 130 dedicated workers at this magnificent place, the children have been given a new lease of life and hope. Kondanani is nurturing future leaders, preachers, scientists, men and women who have known love and will equally give love to others. Caring Hands Infant Home, an impressive building, can accommodate 65 babies and toddlers. There are 58 at the moment, all under 3 years of age. And when they are older, they move to other homes to join older children in the homes. Every baby admitted to Kondanani is first sent to Caring Hands Infant Home. There is an incubator room with incubators for tiny infants and comfortable beds and beddings in the other rooms. Caregivers work around the clock to look after these infants. Relatives come and visit the children, and Kondanani Village encourages this as a way of allowing the children to bond with relatives. Transport money is offered to relatives who come to visit the children. The children are given an excellent foundation in education in a rich environment at the Early Education Center called Kigo's Early Learning Center, where first-class facilities such as toys, learning materials, and well-trained staff, taking the children through an early process, develop motor and cognitive skills, and be ready for primary education. The children start at the Early Learning Center when they are 2.5 years, and when they are 6, they move on to the primary school. What do they learn here? Headmistress of the Early Learning Center, Elizabeth Chirombo, explains.
This is butterfly class, and in butterfly class, there are only 10 children. Here we teach them different things, as you can see on the class on the wall. We always have our mathematics, English, we teach them English, our fine motor skills, marriable, science, PE, so we do different things.
How old are they?
They are almost 5 years old. Because after this class, they also go to the next class where they go to the primary school.
The Louis Chikwaza Christian Academy for both primary and secondary has centers of learning where every child has his own workstation and the teachers provide supervision. There are 2 separate learning centers, one for girls and the other for boys, with same facilities. The children learn through what is called Accelerated Christian Education, S. A modern American education system in which each child is provided with all learning materials and works at his own pace. It aims at building self-confidence, as Michael Brubaker, a missionary from the United States of America, explains.
So what you see here is our school. It's run on an ACE system, which is called Accelerated Christian Education. And basically what happens is the children work in their own individual offices, is what they're called, and they're supposed to be turned in there and working on little booklets, such as this one, and they just work through kind of at their own pace, and they read the material and do their answers like you would any workbook, and they just basically learn on their own. But then as they have questions and need things explained, that's what I'm here for. They ask questions, I tell them, you know, everything they need to know. And then we work through and get to things called checkups, where we test them to make sure, you know, they're reading. We have to make sure they actually know what they're reading. So that, at that point, we test them to make sure. We have various subjects, and they all have paces in English, math, social studies, science, word building, and literature, which they each should have at, in their offices. And they work through them at their own pace, basically. But we need to make sure they keep balance in all of them so that they can move ahead at the same rate. So, for instance, They have numbers on the paces, like this one is number 40. So I want to make sure they have number 40 in English, math, and all the other subjects.
Some of the children who came to Kondanani as babies have grown into teenagers and are about to finish their high school. What is their future like? Reverend Aneji Kwaza says when the children complete high school and become eligible for tertiary education, the center will introduce university courses through e-learning and vocational training in some field. She says those who are able to stand on their own will be allowed to integrate in society, and those who want to join the workforce at Kondanani, like electricians, teachers, administrators, will be free to do so. After classes late in the afternoon for primary and high school students, it is time for sports. The students play various games: soccer, American football, netball, hockey, cricket, and music, among others. Some of the students have passion for music, and Kondanani Village has a band with a complete set of musical instruments, and it is a marvel to see them play.
My name is Promise Malua. I like drumming and I like music.
I am Ainafe Maguta. I'm 40 years old. I chose guitar because I knew that it would be my future, because I would be a music teacher.
Chasing a flag is one of the games the children play at Kondanani. Maureen Brubeka, a missionary, explains what the game is all about.
My name is Lauren Brubaker, and we brought about 25 of the girls down to play Capture the Flag here at El Paradiso. So they love to come down here and play, but the game we're playing today is that two teams hide a flag, and they guard the flag, and then they send out teams to go find the other flag, but they can't get caught. So nobody's found a flag yet, but we're having fun chasing each other.
Some of the children enjoy swimming, and their skills leave a long impression with you. Kondanani Village has a clinic named Roy Alec, after one of the benefactors of Kondanani Village, the founder of God TV, a worldwide Christian television. The clinic provides treatment to the children at Kondanani and surrounding community, as well as rehabilitation services to children with various forms of disabilities. There are also outreach programs to the community on issues of hygiene and nutrition.
I am Kennedy Pestangurume. I am a medical rehabilitation technician working here at Kondanani Children's Village. I'm here treating children with the different disabilities. Mostly, more common problems which we are treating here are the cerebral palsy children. Now we have been visiting villages after getting the permission from the chief, the PA Gumbwe. All the children around Choro district are being treated here. And currently we are having about 53 children whom we do treat here.
Kondanani is not called Star Orphanage for nothing. A visit to one of the houses where boys stay is way above what you find in average Malawian homes. Each house is built with a central lodge, dining room, a bathroom, and three rooms where children sleep four to a room on two sets of beds. Every house has a lounge and a room for a house mother and a nanny, and there is a spacious veranda outside. The houses are named after the generous donors who helped in construction of these places of blessing. Reverend Anne Chikwaza has set an example for other people of goodwill to emulate. Though most of the orphaned children have poor background, they deserve a decent place to live, nutritious food to thrive on as human beings, and develop their full potential. There are other people who are doing a great job to help the over 1 million children orphaned by HIV and AIDS in Malawi, like what Reverend Anne Chikwaza is doing at Kondanani. To them, one can only say, keep the good work. We have a lot to learn from this mother of Malawi and create a future for the children.
Well, praise God. I just want to start with reading a scripture to you. I've got the Amplified Bible here, because that's the one they use in heaven, you see. Well, you know, I think it is such an amazing translation. I'm going to Hebrews 11, verse 6. And I want you to listen very carefully. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please and to be satisfactory to him. For whoever could come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. Now, I'm going to tell you how all of this came to be. It obviously just did not happen overnight. It's 16 years ago, and all these children, you see, they all have come as tiny little babies. And I always say, when a baby comes into Kondanani, I hold that baby in my arm, and I say to myself, what do I want to be the outcome of the life of this child? Now, the outcome has to be that this child is going to say to me when it's grown up, or at least around the age of 18, I always say 18 actually, that, Mommy, I've had a happy childhood, I've had a good education, and I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and what I have learned, I will pass on. Now, I then have to create an environment which is conducive to that, right? I've got to create nice homes. I've got to create nice gardens. I've got to give the children as much as possible so that they will grow up into men and women who will count in their society, who will be of value in their society. And when I started with Kondanani as it is now, I stood with a little baby in my arm. What had happened was I'd been left for dead on that piece of land. I'd been attacked by 50 villagers because my late husband's adult children thought I would inherit that land, which I was not to inherit. But that's what they thought, and there was only one way, and it was for me to die. So I was attacked by 50 villagers because they told the village people that I had poisoned their brother who had died. Now, in Malawi, in the villages, death is never normal. It's either witchcraft or it's poisoning. So they said I poisoned him, and one day they came and they left me for dead on my own doorstep. I went to South Africa for 1.5 years. If you want to know the rest, it's in the book. I went to South Africa for 1.5 years for medical care. I was in a bit of a mess after that. And I came back and I said, Father, what now? Now, I want you to understand, I said I came back. Now, it's very easy to say, God, what did you allow to happen to me? Look, they've messed up my back. I had a panga right through my leg. I was in a mess. Am I going? No, it can't be your plan. But you know what? I knew it was his plan. As Paul knew, it was his plan to go back to where he'd been beaten and left for dead. You see, circumstances are never to change the calling God has placed on your life. You either, the circumstances are going to be of your making, or they're going to take away from you. And you have the choice. I had the choice. You know, my late husband, Louis used to say, Mommy, let me just come to South Africa. Let's just stay there. And I would say, no, that's not what God wants. He took me to the poorest pastor in Malawi. Poor black man I married. The best there was. And yet, and in a different culture. And I said, if God did that, he's got a plan. Yeah. And I came back. And of course, I had to start again. Everything was destroyed. Whatever had been done, they had thoroughly destroyed it. But you know what? Never ever be discouraged. Faith is going to take you a long way. And then you say, well, I don't have faith. And I'm going to never finish my story. I know that this morning. But you know what? Faith will take you a long way. And you say, I don't have faith. Well, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you must have had it. Because he gave you a measure of faith before you were saved. Otherwise, you could never have believed it. You heard the word. And when you heard the word, it created faith on the inside. Now, that faith has got to grow. And yes, there are a lot of tests which are going to cause you to either make it grow or again to be taken away. But my faith had grown. It had grown. And I stood with this little baby. And he said to me, this is where you start. This is where you start. And I said, fine, great. Do you know, I never argue with God. I don't know why some people have got these big conversations about how they think God should do this. Don't argue with God. Because let me tell you what, he knows it a hang of a lot better than you do. Yes. So just you know what? Become putty. And I call it become passive putty in the hands of God so that he can simply mold you. So I went home after I stood with this baby in my arms in another orphanage. And I said to Louis, and look, it's mommy and daddy, that's culture in Malawi. So I said, Daddy, God spoke to me. He said, I must start with babies, with an orphanage. He told me where the house is, where I am to start. So could you and Henry go and investigate that for me? So eventually we got to this house. Now, when I married Louis, I came to a 10-bedroomed, totally dilapidated house. There were far more rats than people. And I come to, and there was only one room with windows. Only one room. And I moved into that room. I put socks on at night because I was scared the rats would eat my feet. And I'm serious. And I come to this house, God has said I should be taking. And it's again a totally dilapidated house. But you know what? When God speaks, people, it doesn't matter what he says. He'll make something out of it. So I'm told, what's wrong with you? I mean, you can't do anything with this. You can't put babies in here. I said, no, I know I can't put babies in here. But I know that God is going to do something. What he's going to do, I don't know either. And how he's going to do it, I don't know either. But that he's going to do it, that I know. A couple of weeks later, I was to minister in South Africa. And in a church, which had been arranged. And when I got there, they'd forgotten all about me. No, that's serious, you know. I mean, can you imagine I came here this morning and was forgotten? Anyway, I thought, never mind. I knew the pastor very well. And he said, look, Annie, you've got 10 minutes. Because the youth was going to do the service. He said, 10 minutes. I thought, 10 minutes, hit the headlines. God's going to move. In 10 minutes. He only needs 1 minute. And do you know, it was amazing. When God starts moving people, when you are obedient, it's nothing can stop him. Nothing can stop him. People were taking their jerseys off. They were taking their shoes off. It was just amazing. And somebody would get up and said, oh, we'll give you a fridge, or we'll give you a washing machine. Or by the time I spoke 10 minutes, no longer than that. But you know what? God did miracles. And it just went on. And eventually, there was an offering for Konda Nani. And the amazing... No, something is wrong here. Okay, I think. Sorry about that. Okay, I'm fixed. And by the time I got a check in the evening service, there was enough money to pay for the altar, for the alteration, the renovation, and everything for that whole house. Does it pay to be obedient? Sometimes advice isn't always as good as it sounds, because we often look at the circumstances. We often look at, you know, we're moved by what we hear. We're moved by what we see. But people, don't be moved by what you hear. Don't be moved by what you see. But be moved by the word of God only. Now, I'm carrying on from here. And it was just amazing how eventually I had 12 children only. And I said, okay, Lord, just for a moment, just hold it. Just hold it, because, you know, I've got to pay salaries, I've got to give them food, I've got to, you know, there's so much to do. But you know what? God wasn't interested. He wasn't interested. It was his project. His project. And do you know, God pays for his own projects. I am not going to stand here in front of you, and never will ever anywhere and beg. Because I have no reason. I have far more testimonies of what God has done than what where the challenges were. Of course, there will always be challenges. I couldn't exist without them, to tell you the truth. I've got to have a challenge because I can't function without it. That's my personality, and God knows that. But he wasn't interested in me having 12 children. He wanted me to have far more than that. And I remember getting number 32 and 33. It was a set of twins. And I sat in the car, and I said to the person who was with me, I said, you know what is so amazing? I'm not even thinking of if I can feed these children. I'm not even thinking of it, because God has been so faithful to his word that I'm not even thinking of it anymore. I have never, ever laid awake one night wondering where the next penny was going to come from. Because even if I didn't know, God would supply. Eventually, we had 43 children in this particular house, and this house was getting too small. And I said, okay, Father, now you know the house is too small. So I'm going to look for a house. So I started looking for a house. And the first house I went to was a Muslim. And I thought, this Muslim doesn't even know he's built this house for us. He hasn't got a clue. And this is so amazing. And this is just the right house. So, but of course, I didn't have money to buy a house. But that didn't matter, because I knew that I had to bring into the natural by faith that which existed already in the spirit realm. By faith, I had to do that. People, lift that faith level. Lift it, and you're going to be so absolutely excited every day about what God does in your life. Now, where's my clock? She's disappeared. And, okay. So, I wrote a letter to Press Trust. Now, yes, and I got a nice letter back. I said, look, I found this house. I want to buy it. I need your money, so please give it to me. And I got a very nice letter back that where they had overextended themselves already. And I thought, no ways. No ways. They had just given a whole lot of money to the football club. If they give money to the football club, they can give money to me. I went in my car, drove 350 kilometers, went to their offices, and I said, guys, no ways. I'm looking after your children. I need another house. I want to buy it. And they gave it to me. Hallelujah. But I was to die, wasn't I, for that piece of land, which was the property of my husband, a 50-acre plot of land. And even that house became too small. And it was in the year 2003. On the year 2000, I had moved back from town to the village myself. When I came back from South Africa, I first could not move back into the village. It was dangerous because at the time when I was attacked, we had some guards, and one of the guards had a rifle, and he unfortunately, when he was attacked as well, the rifle went off, and a mother who was pregnant was shot dead. And that was, I was then held responsible, not only for the death of my husband's one son, but I was held responsible for the death of that lady and her baby. And that was a very sad situation. So I had to wait before I could get back to the village. But in the year 2000, I was back in the village, and the Lord said to me, as I walked on that land and said to him, why does this land now belong to a wicked man? Because my husband said to his children, if you want to kill my wife for that land, for this land, I'm going to sell it. And he sold it to a government minister. And I walked on it and I said, Father, so many people were baptized in that lake. I call it the lake. Mm-hmm. I know it's a dam, but... And you saw it. Beautiful. It's beautiful day. And so many prophecies were spoken out over this land. And so many people got saved on this land. My late husband had revival there. I said, how come it belongs to a wicked man? And God said to me, oh no, this land will come to Kondanani. We were living now right next door to it on a 7-acre piece of land. He said, this land, which belonged at some stage to my late husband, is going to come to Kondanani. And I said, hallelujah. She says, 5 minutes. I said, thank you, Father. I wrote it down. I'm going to have to finish this story. I wrote it down. I wrote down the whole vision for the land. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I knew that God speaks. When he speaks, people, he's going to make it. He's going to make sure it's going to happen. It's not going to change. But we have to position ourselves for him to do what he wants us to do. We have to position ourselves. We, you know, please just listen to what he says. Just to do it, even if it's totally out of the norm. Just do it, because it'll be to your benefit and to the benefit of others, because nothing is just for me or ourselves. It's for the benefit of others as well. So in the year 2000, and I sat with this, the year 2003 came. It was in May. The Lord said, now go out and start raising funds for that land. Out I went. I went to the States, I went to England, I raised funds for that land. You see, God did that. He gave me finances for that land. I mean, it was unusual, but the funds came. I put it in the bank. In August that very same year, my husband comes home and he says, look, with the newspaper, look, it says that the bank which had reclaimed the land want a bid for the land. Well, the money was in the bank. So we put in a bid. And it came to about October, November. The Lord said to me, now start walking around this 50 acres with your staff and just say, thank you, Lord, 7 Fridays. So we'd go around this land every Friday. We would throw oil on it, and we'd say, thank you, Father. And when we'd done it 6 times, we're told that somebody'd won the bid. But of course, you understand that's not possible. Because when God has spoken, that means he's spoken. So we went around the 7th time and we sat tight. And nothing happens. Well, 2004, February came, and nothing had happened on this land. And I get a telephone call from the bank. And they say, Mrs. Chikwaza, would you please come and discuss the land? Now, I could have talked myself out of that. Do you realize that? I could have simply said, oh, well, this is never going to happen. So some other guy won it. I could have lost it. I went into the guy's office with my late husband, and he had Jesus on his screen, on his saver, on the computer. And I thought, wow, great, you know, he's a believer. And I said, so where is the man who won the bet? So he says, well, we can't find him. I said, well, no, I'm not surprised because it belongs to us. He said, well, actually, we want you to have it, but we want another 2 million kwacha. At that time, that was a lot of money. This is Friday afternoon, and we want it by Wednesday morning. I said, no problem. I didn't have a clue what I was. I went home, sent out emails, and we had a team from the States. In fact, the one man was a millionaire. He still is. But I wasn't going to look at men. I wasn't going to look at men. And they said, well, what are you going to do? What is your strategy? Well, hasn't the Lord said? Hasn't the Lord spoken? I mean, there is not very much I can do besides sending everybody an email of what is happening. It came to Tuesday afternoon. I had an interview with the head of Malawi, of TV Malawi, on my front lawn, and his last words to me were, Mrs. Chikwaza, what are your plans for the future? And I had to give the breakthrough there. You know, there are breakthroughs you have to achieve in the spirit realm. And I said, I had zero, not even one tambala or cent or whatever you call it here, not one. I said to him, we have purchased the land next door and we're going to do X, Y, Z. My husband really wasn't very happy with me at that moment because that was on national television and we didn't have one. But you know what? I knew that was going to be the breakthrough. He had spoken to me, hadn't he said that he was going to give it to us? So we went to bed, went to sleep. 10:10. We got to bed very early, eh? 8:30, we're in bed. 10:10, the phone went. A lady from the UK phones. And she said, Annie, if I give you that money, are you sure you're going to get that land? I said, yes, of course. Well, she said, you've got the money. I'm going to give it to you. You know, it still makes me cold. Because the way God wants to work in our lives, look, you know, this is just a small part of my whole story I'm telling you. I mean, I could keep you for the whole afternoon. There's a lot in the book. God has done a lot. He's done a lot in my life, you know, and some of you probably don't understand that I've got strength, but it's not mine. It's God's. You know, I could show you the marks on my arms of how often, I can't even remember how often I tried to commit suicide. I don't even remember it. That is how often. But let me tell you, whatever situation you find yourself in, like the one psychiatrist said to me after I'd been in a coma, for 5 days, he said, you know, Annie, God has a plan with your life. Yeah. And I said, with my life, no ways. But he did. And you know what? Out of it, I became stronger than ever. Why? Because I am a partaker of the character of God. Everything that pertains to life and godliness dwells in me and you, if you know him as your Savior. If you do not know him as your Savior, let me tell you what, you've got no chance. You've got no chance. He wants to take your life and he wants to mold it like he molded mine from a teenager who had no self-esteem, who didn't think anything of herself, who just wanted to die. But God came and he molded me. He took me in his arms. When I saw Brother Andrew standing on that side of the stage and Jesus on the other side of the stage on the day I gave my life to him, I ran to him. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, I want to encourage you to give your life to him so that he can mold it, so that he can change it, so that your depression will go, so that your unhappiness will go, so that your marriage can be restored, so that your life can be of value to others and to yourself. Is there anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Is there anyone here? I want you to lift up your hands so that we can pray together and we can go and say, here, Father, take this man, take this woman, and let it become someone who is of value to themselves. Is there anybody like that? And is there anybody else who probably would want to go and say, I would like to go on the mission field. I would like to become someone who inputs into the life of others. Is there anyone like that? Do you think it's hard on the mission field? Do you know what? I rejoice every single day. Every day I think this is so amazing that God gives so much joy. Joy because we input joy into the life of others. If there is anybody like that, let's pray together. If that is the desire of your heart, let's pray together. Let's come here and let's just pray together. And nobody wants to go onto the mission field. Paul. You know, Paul was amazing. He's, apart from Jesus, he's my favorite. And, you know, God has put the desire in their hearts. And, you know, I think it's amazing. But I have a word for you. Will you come here? And it's a short word. He knows the desires of your heart. But do you know the desires of his heart? And he wants you to look into the desires of his heart for your life. Because he wants to use you. Because you're going to become a woman who's going to bring great honor to him. He is going to use you for his glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are so amazing. Oh, Father, we just thank you that you have implanted faith into the lives of these three people who stand before me. And I thank you, Lord, you are going to cause them to grow. To grow in your word, to grow in their knowledge of you. Father, you are going to take them step by step into a different world, in a world where they may feel at times that it's going to be difficult. But Father, I thank you that you will infuse them more and more with the power of your Holy Spirit and bring them through into a land they may not know and they may not understand. Mm. But Lord, you're going to do it. Yeah. And we thank you for that. And we thank you, you're going to supply every single need like you've always done for Gondanani. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.